You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
And we are here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on Fantasy Sports Today. Kevin Walsh and George Kurtz. George, I want to look towards one specific series where there was kind of a matchup, not necessarily. It's kind of like the quarterback versus quarterback thing that applied. And the follow-up question, probably more important than the first question. But the Braves were playing the Phillies, and you've got Freddie Freeman and Reese Hoskins on display in this series, both homered within the first 2 days. For this year, Freeman or Hoskins?
Freeman or Hoskins? You know, Freeman might have some third base eligibility too. Hoskins, first base and outfield. I mean, Freeman, I think he's the guy I'd go with, but, I think I would tell people Freeman, but I would probably draft Hoskins because, outfield, I mean, so many outfields we need to draft here. I mean, you know, you think about it, you're in a 12 team league, you know, that's 60 outfields, that start. You think everything's going to have at least one outfielder on their bench. Now you're up to 72, you know, maybe another five, six outfielders as utility, up to 78. I mean, if you're a starting outfielder, you're rostered. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're rostered, so that's why I tend to lean towards outfielders. But I can tell you one thing in drafts, man, first base gets real thin real quick if the first five or six guys go, and Freeman is one of those top five or six, but so is Hoskins for that matter. That's why I give Hoskins the extra edge here because of the outfield eligibility here. But, you know, I think people who think Hoskins is going to be the next great player, you know, and some people do think he's the next big thing. There's so much hype revolving around this guy. Yeah. I think we're going to tap those brakes a little bit here. But I'll take Hoskins by a whisker.
Well, I kind of was assuming the answer would be Freddie Freeman. I was going to ask how close it is. But, I mean, I guess that shows it right there. And that's not to say anything about Freddie Freeman, who's been incredible. But and while I think you are keeping it moderate on Hoskins, it does show how much value, I mean, this guy has. And he's going to be really, really exciting, I think, just to watch this year and see how the whole thing pans out.
Absolutely. Listen, Philadelphia, good young and up-and-coming team. They're not there yet, you know, but they're on their way. This is a team that's going to be, you know, them, Atlanta, that National League East, going to be interesting. Not from Miami, but they're Miami's 3-4 years away, but the rest of these teams, Atlanta has the pitching, good hitting. Wait till Acuna comes up in a couple of weeks. Another kid who is the real deal. This kid's going to be a monster here. Philadelphia has good players in the minor leagues that are up and coming. In Philadelphia, we forget, they're a major market. They can spend. You want to talk about a dark horse for a Machado type or a Bryce Harper next year? You know, everyone's talking, the Yankees, I don't think I'm going to get either one because they have too many good young prospects, don't need either one. But a team like Philadelphia could be that team that we're not expecting that all of a sudden signs one, not both, but one of these guys.
You know, that's an interesting point. I can't put it past him. I mean, if you've got the market, if you've got the situation, and you've got the money, you're going to be in the running at least for these guys. And I mean, right now, if I had to guess between on Machado and Harper, I'd guess Harper as a Cub and I'd guess Machado as a Yankee. But I mean, you know, we're so far away from that. And if the Yankees that all of a sudden are out on both guys because, you know, they like what they have in house, then that certainly puts the Phillies in a spot where they can start looking. I want to ask you about another first baseman here who caught my eye on opening day. Didn't get the win, the Cardinals, against the Mets, but Jose Martinez looked good. He was 3-for-4, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs, had a home run. And last year, I felt like, I mean, at least for me, it was kind of quiet how productive this guy was. Hit .309, 14 homers, 46 RBIs in just 106 games, 272 at-bats. I mean, Jose Martinez right now only owned, at least on ESPN, in about half leagues, 50%. I mean, is this a guy that I feel like more people should own? Because I'm looking at him, and I feel like he should be.
I think Martinez might be a top three hitter on St. Louis. All right, I think he is a legitimate player. I think that's what we're going with here. He's a legitimate player. Maybe we had some doubts coming in. Now, I don't know how you go approach your drafts, but I have a saying that it's for me personally, what I call one-year wonders. And what I mean that is, for a guy who's only played, whether it's a rookie who's played 1 year or a guy who came out of nowhere, you know, I tend not to overdraft guys who I've seen only for 1 year because I want them to do it again. You know, when I go in my drafts, I mention how I like the draft, you know, writing down what I expect them to do so I can minus off what I think it'll take to win the category. Well, a 1 year player, I really can't do that because I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, is this year a true year idea? So I'm more of a conservative drafter. So I like guys with a tracker, guys who I can look at the back of, I guess I'll show my age here, look at the back of their baseball card, and I know what they're going to do year after year. You know, so that's the way I approach things. So Martinez, I do think he's legit, but I stayed away with him in drafts because, once again, I want to see more. You know, he's another guy I'll be higher on next year. Mm-hmm. Man, this is not a guy who's 23, 24. He's 29 years old.
Yeah.
No, once again, late bloomer, which happens in baseball. You know, you and I both know this is a hard game to play.
For real.
And some guys, it does take longer to figure it out. So that doesn't bother me all that much that he's all that old. But I wasn't all that high on draft season.
I think that's fair. I think it's going to be interesting to see if he can package together a strong April, and that owning percentage will get up. Maybe now is a good time to try to get in on him for cheap and see if that turns into something profitable. I want to ask you about another guy within that Cardinals-Mets range. For the Mets, Plawecki got the job over Darno. Now, it could be a platoon. It probably is a platoon. But Callaway has been so adamant about the idea that whoever performs plays, which is such a simple concept, yet sometimes seems completely lost on baseball managers. But Plawecki is a guy who I think they were excited about when he originally came up. He never really was able to stick. He had a good opening day, at least, right? Had the double, two hits in three at-bats, walked twice. It was a good day for Plawecki, and obviously catcher is a position. I mean, the last time you and I were doing this show, we talked about just how putrid the catching position can be in fantasy baseball. I mean, will you even look at Plawecki, or do you think that it's just going to be a disgusting situation of him and Darno, and you want no part of it?
Well, you know, I hate catchers. I truly hate them. I mean, I hate the position. All right. So Tony Sicada and I discussed this on Frenzy, I think, last week. And his position is he prefers two catcher leagues because there's more strategy involved. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with that. He's absolutely correct. Because if you only play in a one catcher league, assuming it's a 10 or 12 team league, you can wait forever. It's sort of similar playing in a one quarterback league in football. So same thing. You can wait forever and still get a good catcher. But I hate the position. If you're playing in two catcher leagues, there aren't 24 catchers. You know, so I think we're only having this discussion assuming a catcher league. Mm. Now, what the Mets have said is it will be it's a platoon, not based on righty-lefty because they're both righties, but based on who's pitching, who has the better numbers, who Callaway has a better feel for. I don't know if this is the right way to go about things, and Plawecki and Denard haven't been around enough really to have, you know, true where you can get good sample sizes on any pitcher. But, you know, he'll go by touchy feel. Could be about who's the hot guy as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you're asking me to choose one, it's Plawecki right now. I think he is the guy that has the lead in this competition here, but he may only play four games a week. Maybe it's done R2, and that could change in some weeks. It could be 3-3, 2-4 the other way. I don't mind what Callaway's doing. It's frustrating for us fantasy owners. But as far as for the Mets, I think it's the right thing to do. Play the hot guy. Once again, play the guy that gives you the that you believe gives you the best chance to win. Especially in New York, you should be doing this. So I understand you're going to have some unhappy feelings in the clubhouse. You know, guys are going to be upset they're not playing. Then play better. You know, force my hand. If I'm Callaway, that's what I'm saying. Force my hand. Make me start you.
I think that's totally fair. And I think right now is a time where we're in the early beginnings, right? I mean, you know, it's Easter weekend. We haven't played that much baseball just yet. But now's the time to bookmark guys. And I think that's the best way to put it. You know, you come across that interesting article and you just kind of, you put it to the side. You'll get to it later. Hey, bookmark some of these guys. Kevin Plawecki, Jose Martinez, Davidson. Nick Ahmed, who had a really, really big day the other day for the Diamondbacks, and he had 5 RBIs. Bookmark him, because it's something to keep your eye on, especially, Ahmed, if he's going to give you something at the shortstop position, that's valuable. If Plawecki's going to give you something at catcher, that's valuable. And, you know, a guy like Martinez, who was good last year, you want to see it again. If he's having a good April, it's valuable. Bookmark these guys. Try to be first, but don't jump the gun. Try to find that sweet spot where you're willing to grab them, but you're also, you know, in a situation where you're going to get the appropriate value. I think that is the best advice that I could try to give when you're watching these games early, because you don't want to overreact. If guys are performing badly, they're performing badly. But pay attention to those guys that are, you know, getting off to hotter starts. Because then also, you know, for guys who are in battles like a Plawecki, the manager might just say, listen, he's rolling right now and I'm not going to mess with this. And, you know, if you've got him bookmarked, then it could end up being a big win for you.
Oh, you are 1,000% correct. I mean, 1,000% correct. I can't say enough. Baseball is a marathon. It is, what is today, March 30th? We're not even in April yet. Okay? I mean, people are already panicking. Oh, my God, my player went 0-for-8. You know, he's only got one hit. He pitched terribly in his first start. Another thing about April, we've seen players over and over again. They don't perform well in April because they don't hit well in cold weather. You know, they need the weather to warm up. So maybe it's mid-April. Maybe it's May 1st. It's another little thing I like to do. You know, baseball to me is, I sort of divide it into three seasons. I go by the holidays. Up until May 1st, I'm evaluating my Memorial Day, I'm sorry. I'm evaluating my team. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not to say I won't make some moves, but I'm not doing anything drastic here. But I'm evaluating my team. Okay, what categories do I need? Who's got up to a slow start? Why? Why do I believe he's gotten up to a slow start? Is it because of the weather? Is there an injury I don't know about here? Is it a player I took a chance on? It's not working out. You know, why? I need to know why. You know, why I believe. And then from that Memorial Day and really until July 4th, that's when I start fixing my team, whether it's trades, roster moves, whatever it might be. You know, but I'm patient. It's not like football. We only have 13 weeks in football. You know, a player's not performing well for 2 weeks, you may have to move on because you can't afford to wait and go 0-4. You'll be out of the playoffs before September's out here. Baseball, you have a long ways to go where you can make up ground.
Yeah, I mean and that's the reality of it, and you gotta pay attention, and you've gotta follow along. I can't tell you how often. I mean, again, I don't play in expert leagues, and it's not high money, but I mean, people still are putting money on the line, whatever the entry fee may be, and people just fall off the wagon, and you're in a 12-team league, and all of a sudden it's, you know, it's August, and there's really only like 5 people competing. Now, that's not the ideal situation. But maybe it is, and that's why you're listening to the network. You're obviously committed. You're willing to get the edge up. That's the big thing for you. It's to continue to grind out. I mean, hell, the draft in fantasy baseball is a grind. The thing feels like it's 3 hours long, but that's kind of what fantasy baseball is. I think that's why it is very different from, I mean, obviously it's very different from fantasy football. I mean, it's a completely different sport, but just the way you approach fantasy baseball is so different because it is such a grind.
Once again, you're absolutely correct. You know, it's funny you mentioned the long drafts. We all say, and it's true, you know, auctions are the fairest draft. You know, it's because once again, you can never make an argument, oh, I couldn't get Mike Trout because I didn't have the first pick, wah, 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 and all this other crap. In an auction, you don't have that argument. You want him, go spend for him. But it's funny. I stay away from auctions personally because if you get 3 hours, if an auction was in 3 hours, I'd be doing backflips. Be great. Try 6 hours. You know, they take forever, and I generally just don't have that kind of time. I want to start. You know, I want to start taking my pen and stabbing people, especially those people who have to wait till going once, going twice, going not $11. I'm gonna stab you. Just you do that one more time, I'm gonna stab you. Okay. It's like Christ. You know, it drives me. You know, you go on a draft in New York, and you're gonna get shot doing that sort of stuff. But and it'd be justifiable. I think if I was on the jury, I'd let the person go.
You're killing me, George. People that probably want to get stabbed. The Dodgers probably want to stab Joe Panic. I just wanted to mention it. I mean, the first two games of this series, 1-0, 1-0. Panic homers. Panic homers.
MVP!
He's the best player in the world. I've never seen anything like
He's
that.
He's hit a home run, Kershaw and Jansen. MVP! Joe Panic for MVP.
They changed his Wikipedia bio to say Joe Panic, father of two, Clayton Kershaw and Kenley Jansen.
That's funny. That's funny. At the storybook start, right?
You know, the thing is, I mean, listen, Lord knows what the season is going to be for the Giants. We know what the expectations for the Dodgers are. The Giants are already off to a rocky start with injuries and what have you. But at the end of the day, in-division games matter. And for the Giants to be able to win two games like that, 1-0, only contribution being a Joe Panic home run, and the home run coming off Clayton Kershaw and Kenley Jansen. I mean, that's freaking remarkable. And I wonder if, you know, we'll be closing down the stretch, playoff race, whatever it may be, and we're We're talking about the first two games of the Giants' season, where it made a huge impact on whether this team is in or out.
I guess I'll be negative Ned here. I kind of go the opposite the way, and I'm thinking this will be their best two-game stretch of the season because of who they beat and how they beat them. I think this team is a dumpster fire.
This is the hottest they'll ever be, and they've scored two runs in two games. Oh, the poor Giants. I think they're going to have an interesting season. Quickly, I just wanted to ask you about, I don't know, do you play any leagues on ESPN?
I'm trying to think here. Fantrax, CBS, Fanball. I don't think so this year. No, I could be wrong. I don't think I'm playing on Yahoo either.
Is Nelson Cruz, because on ESPN he is DH only. And I was having this conversation with my brother as we were in a draft the other night, and he kept falling. And it's like you're letting at least 40 home runs just fall right by you. But his only eligibility is DH, which means he literally can only play in the utility slot. And that's it. That just feels wrong to me. Like, can that really drastically impact a player? Because I feel like in most spots he's probably an outfielder, but wouldn't that impact a player's value quite substantially when all he is utility?
Yeah, I don't remember who I was talking to about this. Could have been Tony, could have been Scott Engel. I remember years past, I used to get David Ortiz. David Ortiz, you know, who, let's face it, is a Hall of Famer. Maybe the PEDs keep him out, but is a Hall of Famer. But I was able to always get him late because people would stay away from him because of the DH problem. So, no, I'm not surprised about Cruz, and yes, it's silly.
I think that's fair. We come back. I just want to talk about these NFL trade rumors because there's some stuff swirling about. We'll probably get back to baseball in hour three, but keep it here. Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
We are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and let me tell you about DailyRoto.com. Dominate DraftKings and FanDuel Major League Baseball contest this summer with Daily Roto's MLB projections and optimizer. Go to DailyRoto.com/premium and save 10% with promo code FNTSY. That is promo code FNTSY to use all the same tools and projections that millionaire maker winner Drew Dinkmeyer uses. And the tools don't just work for football. This is the same site that Drew used last year for top 550,000 DraftKings live final finish. So head over to dailyroto.com/premium and save 10% with the promo code FNTSY and see the results for yourself. George, we did this last time. We hosted this show together. We were talking about Odell Beckham because of the video there was pizza, women, and then assortment of other things that certainly, I think, sped up maybe the talk of Odell Beckham being traded. And there are some rumors out there. There are some possible landing spots. But off the bat, your initial gut right now would tell you that Odell Beckham is on the Giants this coming season, yes or no? George? We may have lost.
I'm going to go yes.
Oh, yes, he's there.
No, you didn't. I'm contemplating. You're pondering the question here. I'm pondering. I think this is a hard one because, the Giants are an old school organization. I think years ago, this might have been pretty easy for them to move on, because they wouldn't have taken this kind of crap. But and it's one thing after another here. Now, you mentioned the pizza and the. I think the amazing thing about that is that he was actually able to tell that girl, "No, I want to get some sleep." I don't know if I could do that. I don't know how tired I could possibly be to turn that down. But anyway, I digress. It's one thing after another with him, right? I mean, he's all his antics on the field. He acting like he was a dog taking a leak, having the problems with the kicking net. It's just silly. The problem with Josh Norman. It's one thing after another. Do you want this guy around your quarterback? And I don't mean Eli Manning. I mean, assuming you take a quarterback at number two, which I think they have to. Do you want this guy to be in your quarterback's ear? You know. So I think they'd probably like to move on here. But how many teams can give them what they want, which will be at least a number one pick and another pick? I don't think they'll get two number ones, but a one and a three, and then sign Beckham to a monster contract
right, with
a lot of guaranteed money. I think that's the issue there. I don't think they'll be able to get what they want because no team's going to want to pay a one and a three, and then give Beckham $75 million. I think that's the issue there. It's just I can't see a team willing to do it. I think the Rams, you know, they'll give a number one, but that's about it. You know, I think the Giants have to really be just tired of him. And that's it. I've had it. You know, I can't take this guy anymore. And I don't think they're quite there yet. So if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say 70% still with the Giants this year.
So I think that's fair. I've been thinking about this a lot since this is broke. Because I love trades, and especially in football, because I feel like we don't get them all that often. I love when big marquee names are on the move. I just think it's exciting to see them in a new situation, see what actually ends up being the value. So I'm really intrigued by this whole situation. And I've kind of been thinking about the specifics for the Giants. And the reality of it is, right, George, even if they say, you know what, we are not trading them. We're not trading them. We're going to stick with Odell. Well, that's not the last hurdle they have to get over. Then they've got to do all of this contract stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, the off-field stuff, go away or not, you now have what is going to be a grueling negotiation process with Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, if you think for a second that any of this, the trade rumors, the videos, have pushed him off his stance that he wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback in this league, you're crazy, because that has not changed for a second. So I really think you're at a spot here where you say, okay, fine, we're not trading him. We're going to roll with Odell Beckham. That negotiation process is going to be a monster. And then, even if you get the contract signed, Odell tweeted out, he doesn't plan on being at preseason. I don't even know if he's going to be at OTAs. He might just be doing his own thing, Le'Veon Bell style. To where now, you're going to go through this whole process, think about trading him, not trade him, finally get signed into the contract, pay him all that money, and then he still might not show up. At the end of the day, if you're Gettleman and you're trying to show that you're a stern GM, you're running a tight ship, and that's what you're trying to give off, I don't know if you can actually keep Odell. Ultimately, the talent is there, and I don't think that trading Odell Beckham is necessarily the best move. But I think for what Gettleman is trying to put on display and what he's trying to produce there for the Giants, I don't actually know if he can survive this process.
It's a tough one because you're talking about it. When Odell is on his game playing healthy, he's a top three wide receiver. He's a game breaker. Mm-hmm. But he isn't a guy who, what we call wide receivers, divas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's certainly that and more. Yeah, he's a problem. I don't think there's any doubt he's a problem. I know it's funny. I think if the New York Giants were, let's say, I don't even want to say Cleveland right now, but in a pure rebuild where you knew it was going to be 2 or 3 years where they were any good, I think they'd move on here. But I think the Giants did massively underachieve last year. I think they know that. They're a better team than that. And I think that's another why they want to keep Odell. Because if you do trade Odell, then you are really saying, hey, okay, we're rebuilding. Time to move on from Eli, draft the quarterback here, and we'll take our two-year beating. So I think the Giants are having a hard time sort of moving on from that as well. It's easy to say here. We're here on the radio. We're not, let's move on from Odell. He's a problem. There aren't too many players like this in the league. Dynamic players, and he on the field, he is a dynamic player, probably top 10, top 15 overall player, as far as, you know, a guy who is a touchdown waiting to happen in the NFL. Can you move on from that? Does it actually make your team better, with these picks here? I just keep going back to me, do I want this guy in my quarterbacks, my new quarterback's ear? This Allen, Rosen, Donald, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. Do I want this guy in my quarterback's ear? And I don't. I really, really don't. I think that's, that could be a problem as well here. It's a tough call for the Giants. I do think he remains there, but it's interesting. You know, if the Giants wanted to quash all these talks, they just came, they come out and say it. Odell's not going anywhere. We're done. And it's done.
I don't think they want to. They want to listen. I actually think that their ideal scenario, if you told them tomorrow, you get what you feel is the appropriate value for Odell Beckham, or you can just have the whole contract thing sorted out and you pay him what you find to be appropriate, I think they'd rather trade him at this point. I actually think that's where they are. Let me ask you this, because I feel like what happened last year with the Giants was the perfect storm of everything going wrong. With injuries, the people that were in charge, I just felt like it completely collapsed. And I don't think that it was in any way indicative to the talent that that roster had. And I felt that if they got this offseason right, they could actually come back and compete for the division crown, and that they could, you know, then make a run, right? If the Giants are in the playoffs, they can maybe go on some type of run. I'm looking at them now, and turmoil aside, but just their moves haven't been as overwhelming, I think, as some would like. But also, the Eagles continue to get better. The Vikings get Kirk Cousins. Rodgers is coming back. The NFC West continues to make strong moves. The Rams are trying to build a monster over there. That's why they're trying to contact Odell Beckham. I mean, again, we're a way away, right? Like, we still need the draft to happen and things of that nature. I don't know if I really can see the Giants actually competing next year. And I think the idea of a full rebuild might actually be what they need to go through. Is that, am I wrong in that? Do you think that the Giants next year can compete? Because I think that's something they have to factor in to this decision.
I actually think you're 100% correct. But teams don't think like this. Everything you said is correct.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think the Giants massively underachieved last year. You know, and injuries were a big part of that. But as far as this year is concerned, Philadelphia, you're absolutely right, is getting better. Minnesota looks really good, and they add some players. The Rams, good luck facing them. If that offense is a tick above average, they're going to be a nightmare to play against. I mean, Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald up the middle. Oh, my God.
With Peterson and Talib on the outside, it's horrifying.
Right? I mean, they're built. I mean, these teams, you had Aaron Rodgers coming back here. These teams are built to win. The Giants, no matter what they do, aren't going to compete with them. You know, so I think Eli Manning's done. You know, I think I actually think the Giants made the right move last year in benching Eli. It just shouldn't have been for Geno Smith. That was right. The problem. You know, you couldn't go with Geno Smith, a failed player already. This was a failed player in New York. So that was the issue there. They should have gone to Webb to see what they have there. So this is why I think the Giants have to take a quarterback with the number two spot, because you don't get all that many chances to get this high a draft pick. You can't screw it up by taking Chubb or Barkley. You know, I understand these are two great players, but the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. If you have one, you win. You don't, you lose. It's pretty much that simple here. I'm not saying whatever quarterback they take is going to be a world beater, and it sort of sucks that Cleveland's going to take the number one guy, and maybe they're taking the guy you also believe is number one. You know, but in this day and age, you need to take a shot at a quarterback. The Giants, if they if they don't take quarterback, probably will win 6 to 8 games next year, which means that takes you out of a top 10. So now the only way you're getting a quarterback in next year's draft is to trade away future picks. You know, future possible stars here to get a quarterback. I think the Giants are crazy. Yeah, if they don't take a quarterback, I think you have to take one. Hopefully Cleveland doesn't take your guy, and then you take the guy you want. And if you don't want to take a quarterback, then I think you need to trade out of that spot anyway to a team that does want a quarterback. You know, and because that's the way the NFL works nowadays. So I agree. I think the Giants probably should rebuild. You know, draft that quarterback. You know, build around him for a couple of years there. You know, if you're going to trade Beckham, you'll get another number one, another number three, maybe another pick, whatever it might be, and you build around that. I think that's probably what they should do, but I don't think it's what they will do.
So I have a trade proposition. Have you heard the rumors that the Giants are all in on Sam Darnold, but they are out on any non-Sam Darnold quarterback?
I'm assuming that's where all the rumors of them not taking a quarterback at number two or four, because they think Cleveland's going to take Donald at number one, and they want him to.
Right. So here is my proposed trade, and I'm curious what your reaction would be for both sides of this deal. If the Giants and the Browns swapped 1 and 2, And the Browns also gave them the very first pick of the second round this year, and then next year's first round pick, 2019 first round pick of the Browns, in exchange for Odell Beckham Jr., right? So they swap 1 and 2. The Browns give them the first pick of the second round, 2019 first rounder, for Odell. Where would you sit on that trade? Because then the Giants are able to get Darnold, and they're going to completely control the second round with the first two picks there. They can get back up into the first round if they want to make any moves, and they've got another 2019 first round asset that I think could be good for them. But I'm curious your reaction.
I'm not doing it if I'm Cleveland. You don't really need a receiver right now. I mean, you got Coleman, Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry. Mm-hmm. I understand that none of them are Odell Beckham, but the only way I would do that is if let's say Darnold is their number one. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's not their number one, well, then the problem is solved here. But let's say Darnold is their number one. They know what Giants are taking him, but they really like Allen.
Right.
Or they really like Mayfield or Lamar Jackson, whatever it is. They're okay, then fine. Then I can see them doing that. But assuming they're not, that they really want Darnold as well, then I'm not passing up on Darnold, because I think this draft is going to work out almost perfectly for Cleveland. Because I think what's going to happen is they're going to get the quarterback of their choice at one, which is probably Darnold. You know, the Giants could be a wild card at two. But I still think either they take a quarterback or they trade out of it to a team that wants a quarterback. We know a Jets are taking a quarterback at 3, mm-hmm. which is amazing when you think about it. The Jets gave up all those picks, you know, first round, 3 second rounds, for the third best quarterback. You know, so they must love 3 quarterbacks in this draft. But anyway, the Jets take a quarterback at 3, which means Cleveland at 4. Worst case scenario is they have a choice. They don't have a choice because Barkley goes at 2 or Chubb goes at 2 and they take the other one. Best case scenario is they do have a choice at 4. They can take Barkley or Chubb because their quarterbacks went 1, 2, and 3. Cleveland is sitting pretty here. So I don't think they need to do that, the trade you're talking about. Not unless, like I said, they have 2 quarterbacks even. You know, okay, hey, then we'll take the extra picks. We want, we want to do what we can with Odell Beckham in there. Because like I said, now you got 4 wide receivers who all need to play, unless there's a secondary trade here. You know, Cleveland goes, oh, okay, we can do this because we're going to trade, Gordon or Coleman. We'll trade Coleman to whatever, Dallas for number 3. You know, then fine. Then I can see that something happening there. But it's interesting. And I think the Giants will, there'll be a lot of talk here for the Giants. I think it's not a bad idea for the Giants to try and trade. Assuming they like Darnold, like you said, that they want Darnold as much as Cleveland does, it's not a bad idea because it gets you your quarterback of the future. It gets rid of the headache in. And Beckham, Cleveland can afford to pay him. That's also key here. They
right.
can afford to pay him. So the trade does work out on some level. I just don't think it'll end up happening.
Before I even respond, I just want to say, how crazy is it that, I mean, if I would have told you a year ago that we'd be in a scenario where the Browns would be declining a trade for Odell Beckham Jr. It is so crazy how quickly things can change. Though one of the things, and I actually agree with you, I think that for the Giants, that's an easy yes. The hang-up more so is the Browns, and maybe they would have to give up less. And again, you completely knocked it out of the park. If they feel like Darnold is clearly far and away better than all of these guys, this isn't a conversation. Odell Beckham is not more valuable than any franchise quarterback. That is simply how the NFL is. Franchise quarterback trumps all else. That is simply how that goes. But if they feel like those quarterbacks are close, because I think the thing is for the Browns, and I agree with you, wide receiver is a current strong point, but Odell Beckham is a complete game changer, and he puts that whole thing over the top. And I think that for the Cleveland Browns, who have been stuck at the bottom for so long, that opportunity to not only now get out of there, but have a legitimate superstar. I mean, George, I might argue Odell Beckham is the most popular NFL player. Can I make that argument?
Yes, I think you can. Absolutely. I think you can make that argument.
So, I mean, you talk about a situation from now where the Browns can go from 0 wins to maybe, I mean, if that offense is, I mean, I think it's a nice offensive line. You've got Carlos Hyde plus Duke Johnson. I like that backfield. Tyrod Taylor's a top 20 quarterback. I think that would be a fair ranking of Tyrod. I think he'd fall in the top 20 range. And then you've got David Njoku, who showed flashes last year, with Odell Beckham, Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, and Corey Coleman. I mean, you're talking about what should be probably a top 5 offense in the entire NFL. It's a situation where I think the Browns all of a sudden have to, you know, listen, you don't want to rebuild forever. But if you are completely sold on Darnold, then yes, this isn't much of a conversation. However, if you feel like the gap is close, the opportunity for the Browns to go out there and legitimately put a real contender on the field, now not Super Bowl contender, but wild card contender, is huge for a team that's won one football game in the last two combined seasons. I just feel like that might be something that is difficult for them to pass up on. If you're out there listening and you've got an opinion, you want to let us know what you think about Odell Beckham. Should they trade him? Should they not? Call us 844-843-6879. Kevin Walsh, George Kurtz. We're back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Kevin Walsh and George Kurtz. We're just talking about the Odell Beckham trade rumors, the speculation surrounding it. Could the Browns be involved? We know the Rams are interested. I'm sure there's a number of teams that have shown interest. It's a matter of would they move off. But George, not the only superstar that's now getting some trade rumors. We've now got another one of the top most popular players in the NFL, a name that we actually mentioned at the top of the show, future Kentucky Derby winner Rob Gronkowski could possibly be on the trade block. It was reported by the Boston Sports Journal's Greg Bedard, also hinted at by Albert Breer of the MMQB. The idea that they are becoming interested on moving on from Gronk as he's becoming kind of uncommitted to returning with the Pats next year, and they want to see if they can maybe move on from him. He's the fourth highest paid tight end right now in the league, $9 million per year, 2 years left on the deal, 29 years of age, with the 49ers and Rams as potential suitors. I mean, just off the bat, do you think Gronk is going to be playing football next year, uniform aside?
Yeah, I'm going to go yes here. I do think he's serious about contemplating retirement. I think, once again, his body's been beat up. I think he's got the money. I think this horse could be a negotiating ploy because he's not paid like he should be. You know, he's got a sweetheart deal with New England, so I think that's part of it. And I think there's also that New England floating, he could be traded, is also a negotiating ploy. I think they're both sort of working it here. What? You want more money? Oh, we'll trade you. You know, but I just think of this. Why would a team want to give up? What's it going to acquire to get Gronkowski? You know, and what's another number one? You know, you got to give that up. You know, a player is contemplating retirement. You might be giving up a number one just for 1 year, and he's gone at the next year. You know, you're going to have to give him a new contract because he's going to want that, or he's going to tell you, I'm going to retire. He has leverage here. You know, so I don't see that happening. I think there's a better chance of Beckham being traded than I think Gronk. Because I think Gronk has some leverage. I'll just leave. I'll just done. I'll go, you know, hit the dance floor and go on my cruises. So I'm going to say no.
Did you see that? Did you see him up on Shaq's shoulders? Like, I mean, Shaq is a mammoth of a human being. He made Gronk look so small.
It's strange. I did see it, yes, and it's what you said is correct. I mean, it's like, oh my god, it's like when Aaron Judge was next to Giancarlo Stanton. Right? Stanton's a big man, and Judge makes him look like a child. I mean, it's just when you see how big some of these guys are, it's like, oh my god.
It's jarring. I'll say, I agree with you that Gronk is going to play next year. But everything about this situation makes it very difficult to trade Gronkowski. I mean, you've got him on a good deal. Fourth highest paid tight end. He should be by far and away the highest paid tight end. Injury concerns aside, he's I mean, it's not even close how much better he is than anybody else that plays the position. And that's not to disrespect, you know, Kelsey, Olsen, Ertz. They're great players. Gronkowski, when he's on the field, is another level of player at that tight end position. He's one of the 10 best players in the league, quarterbacks included. That's how good Gronk is. It is difficult to figure out, but you've got him on a good deal. And if you trade him, the fact that if he went to somewhere he didn't like, he could easily hang it up would be concerning. But also, you know, would you really keep him in-house? I mean, it's only on the 2 years left on the deal, so are you getting exactly what you want? Do you really want to be the team to pay, you know, a guy with Gronk's injury concerns and clearly retirement considerations that big-time extension? Probably not. I think the two teams that are interested are about right. The Niners have a ton of money, and the Rams are clearly interested in every single good player in all of football.
Well, you're right about the Rams, right? I mean, they want everybody. Beckham, sure. Gronk, bring him on. Let's go. The Rams, they want to win. You know, they want to win now.
It's like it's almost like their window's closing the way that the Rams are acting. You know what it is? Sorry to cut you off there, but I do think that a lot of these NFL teams are realizing that there is a window where you have your rookie quarterback on that rookie quarterback deal, and that is almost a window of itself. It's not to say, you know, a lot of times in sports, windows close because the team gets older, but in football, it's almost as if the window of when your quarterback is on that cheap contract is an entirely different window that you have to take advantage of, and I feel like that's kind of what the Rams are trying to do.
You know what? The Rams remind me of this. It's just, when people ask me about fantasy, especially in dynasty leagues or keeper leagues, about, you know, when trades or moves they should make, and I always tell people the same thing. Play to win this year. Worry about next year. Next year. Flags fly forever. You know, no one remembers you finished second place here. And the Rams are reminding me of this. They want to win now. We'll worry about next year. Next year. You know, we're about 2 years down the line, 2 years down the line. We want to win now. Get that championship here. That's exactly what the Rams remind me of. They are in on everything. You already heard they give up the 23rd pick for Odell Beckham. You know, I think they do the same thing for Gronk. You know, I have no doubt they would. So if you want, listen, right now, if you want to trade a star player, you have to talk to the Rams.
And you know, if you were offered the 23rd pick for Gronk, if you're the Pats, I mean, you consider it? No. Not to say that whoever the 23rd pick is isn't going to be better than Gronk, but I mean, that security, given Bill Belichick, that type of ammo is nice.
I think this comes down to how much does Belichick believe that Gronk's only going to play another year. I mean, if it's only another year, yeah, I'm probably going to do it. You know, take the 20. I think that's the way Belichick would, because that's what he does, right? He plays for the future, not always to win now. Even though some would say, well, you have to play to win now. How much longer is Brady going to play for and play well? You know, I do wonder if this is the year where things come crashing down. The offensive line took a couple of major hits.
Yeah.
You know, Brady is up there. So I wonder if this is finally that year, but the weapons are still there. And let's face it, the AFC East, Josh McCown, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. McCarron, that's the three quarterbacks going up against Brady right now. That's not very good. I don't think you'll get some rookies in there, sure, to compete, but man, you're still not really competing with Brady to win that division title yet. It's why I know Sincotta likes to say this. You know, the Patriots don't. They have like a week 18 season. Week 17's they have a 19 week season. Week 18's a bye because you know they're not playing the first week of the playoffs. They don't play the second week in the playoffs No one can challenge them in that division.
I mean, it is part of the reason. And I mean, listen, what the Patriots have dominated for years, and obviously, you know, if they'd never won a Super Bowl, then you know, you would be able to poo on it, but they have had no resistance from any of these AFC East teams. I mean, the second best quarterback behind Tom Brady over this run that they've had is Chad Pennington. I mean, it's been, is it Mark Sanchez? Like, he wasn't even good. It was the defense. Let me not go down this whole rabbit hole. As far as Gronk goes, I do think the landing spot, LA, right, with the Rams, or San Francisco, at least it's California. I wonder what direction that pushes him. Like, does it get him closer? Because, I mean, you know, Gronk was at WrestleMania is coming up. Gronk was at WrestleMania last year. Gronk has appeared in some movies, probably seen in some TV shows. I mean, this is a guy who I think clearly has a life outside of football, where he is going to be making money for years and years to come, you know, through different appearances throughout, you know, some movies and TV shows and maybe, you know, a stint in the WWE. All of that could exist. But I wonder if him going to California could kind of have him, you know, maybe a bit more satisfied with where he's at, and he, you know, he enjoys it there, and he's like, you know what, I can kind of balance all this out, and I'm having more fun, and I like it. Or if it pushes him almost, you know, when you get too close to the sun, and now he's, you know, he's submersed in it, and he's like, I don't even need to play football at all. I'm here. Everything's happening. I can make just maybe probably more money with all of the different things that he could probably do out in California, and I wonder if that would push him more towards the retirement.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that money's not a factor here. That granted, he still wants to make money, but that it's not an overriding factor.
Right.
What was it? Was it The Rock that told him to quit football and act? You know, I think it was I believe it was Dwayne Johnson. I mean, it's not quite that easy. You know, I don't know how good an actor Gronkowski would be, but yeah, you could see him. You could certainly see him being a you know, action movie star. You know, with that build and his personality, absolutely. I think a lot of this comes down to really for Gronk how his body feels. He has been beat up. One thing about Gronk, for as good a player he is, I mean, well, have we ever seen a player like him who seems like a lot of hard hits? He doesn't fall well. And what I mean that way, some players when they get hit, they fall to the ground. They fall well. Mm-hmm. You know, Gronk looks like he falls like a, you know, like a Jenga thing. And everything just looks bad. You know, like every time he gets tackled to the ground, you wonder if he's going to get up, doesn't he? But doesn't he look like that?
No, he does. It's
I mean, to
like,
me, he does.
Like Joel Embiid a bit. Like every time he goes down, you're like, oh, he's dead. It's
right.
It's
is he going to get up? So yeah. I wonder, you know, if these hits have taken, you know, I say this all the time. When it comes to, you know, a lot of us complain about how much money these athletes make. And listen, it's an obscene amount. It's a joke. But I don't ever complain about a football player's money because their quality of life probably not going to be the same after this. It's a brutal sport. Their body is beat up. You know, I'm old enough that I watched Earl Campbell play. And Earl was the real deal, man. This guy loved to run over. It was a highlight machine waiting to happen because he was fun to watch because he wasn't trying to avoid nobody. You know, but you see him now, he can barely walk. You know, and that's sad. That's really sad. So that's my one issue here about Gronk. If he wants to retire, or these other players who have retired early because of the wear and tear, I have no problem with it. No problem at all. If he feels he needs to walk away, he knows how his body feels. You know, so that's why I do think some of this is legit. I think he has some worries about that. But the bottom line is I think he's still coming back with the Patriots for one more year.
I think that's fair. I couldn't agree more on your points of just complaining about a football player's money. The reality of it's not the same. Even if you play for, you know, one of those guys that flame out in the NFL early. You're not the same from it. But ultimately, I do find the Gronk situation an interesting one. I'm more so interested in the Odell because I do feel like there's more legs to that. I think Gronk, if he did, through the hypothetical though, I mean, if Gronk landed in either of those situations, the 49ers or the Rams, I mean, you're not any lower on him than you would be if he were in New England. I mean, you would, I think, expect him to thrive in either situation, no?
I think you'd rather have him with the Rams. I'm not so sure about the 49ers. I mean, I like Garoppolo, but still not a great offense there. I'd much rather see him with the Rams.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, but I do think I'm personally a big believer in Kyle Shanahan. I do think that if he's given the talent of Jimmy Graham, geez, if he is given Gronkowski, he will be making the absolute most out of him. That's just how I see it. But I agree. I think that the Rams, especially for what they put forward last year, would probably be the more preferred destination. I want to ask you one, George, that might hit a little close to home. It's not a trade rumor. It's more so an expected soon-to-be cut. Des Bryant. The man is supposedly supposed to be getting cut, almost a guarantee. Are you expecting this to happen?
Oh, this is a tough one. I think the Cowboys have made a lot of mistakes in their receiving core. You know, you just go with last year, they re-signed Terrence Williams, who's really nothing special here. They're letting Bryce Butler go. I think Bryce Butler's a better receiver than Terrence Williams. So I think it's a mistake. One, I don't mind starting with Allen Hurns. They could get Calvin Ridley at 19 or another wide receiver at 19. I think they're going to ask him to take a pay cut. I believe he's top four, maybe top three, as far as salary cap hit this year at wide receiver. He's certainly not worth that. Dak and him have not been able to get on the same page for whatever reason. I mean, Tony Romo sort of believed, you know, unless he was double covered, he was open. You're throwing the ball up to Dak, let him go up and get it. Throwing the ball up to Dez. Dak doesn't believe that. Dez actually has to be open, and he's not that kind of wide receiver. Rarely is he open. You know, he's covered. He doesn't have that extra juice anymore, that extra speed. He's lost that due to the injuries there. So I think they're going to ask him to take a pay cut. I think it gets interesting if he says no. You know, go pound sand. You know, I think that's where then Dallas has a decision to make. They don't necessarily need the money for this year, you know, but I don't know if they want to pay him. I think it's $16 million for a guy who's not worth $16 million. You know, I think it could be where they give him, you know, what, maybe half with a lot of incentives. You know, I think that might be fair for both sides, something they both sides could live with. But I think they will ask him to take a pay cut. I think it'll be sooner rather than later.
I'm expecting him to say no. And expecting him out. I don't think he's all too happy in Dallas right now. And I think that he might be looking towards a fresher start. Can I just stick with the Cowboys for a second? If Dez is out, how concerned are you with the receiving core without a Dez? Not necessarily that a Dez Bryant should make you feel as good as it once did. But, I mean, I don't know if this team can be down another man. Or do you feel like Hearns and a couple of other guys will step up and they'll be okay without him?
Oh, I mean, it's a running team. You know, this offense is going to run through Ezekiel Elliott. He won't be, we don't think he'll be suspended next year. So he'll play the entire season.
Lord knows what Rodgers is whipping up over there.
Yeah, I mean, and especially with NFL plays in their off seasons, Lord knows indeed. But, you know, he'll play next season, so that's all good news. So I'm going to say, will it be the same offense? I mean, no, but I think Dez is coming back because of this. Dallas sort of played this right. They waited this long. There are no teams out there that are going to sign him for any more money than what Dallas is going to give him.
Mm.
You know, what Dallas will cut him down to. So he's going to have to stay there. You know, unless he just wants out of Dallas. I don't think he wants out necessarily. So I think that's where we are with Dez here. I think he is going to stay with the Cowboys. I think he will get a pay cut. I don't think he'll get released. But I'll say this. I think what will happen, if he says no, once again, pound sand, not taking a pay cut, and Dallas does take a wide receiver at 19, I think you could see Dez get cut almost immediately after that.
Yeah, we're on different sides of the spectrum here. Let's just play the devil's advocate if they do cut him, if he refuses to take that pay cut. Because I've thought about this, and there aren't any landing spots that exactly jump right out to you, I feel, when it comes to Dez Bryant. I mean, are there any teams that you very quickly, you know, come to mind when you think about Dez going elsewhere?
I mean, the problem, he's going to want to get paid. Maybe not what he's making with Dallas, but he's still going to want to get paid. So, I mean, you look, would the Rams be interested? You know, because Beckham, that's why I look here, because they want Beckham. So are they interested? I don't know if they really want to go that direction with Dez, a receiver who might change some dynamics there in your locker room. So I'm going to say no. With Jets, I don't think he's going to go with Jets. They're still rebuilding. You know, I don't know if he wants to do that. Cardinals could make some sense there, because once again, they need a wide receiver. Larry Fitzgerald is almost down. I think there would be some sort of market for him, but not the market he thinks there's going to be.
Cardinals is not that's not a bad shout. We are going to talk about a lot more in my preview, a little bit of that Final Four. That's going to be coming up later today. Hour number three on deck. Keep it here on Fantasy Sports Today.